The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly. Alvaro Arbeloa's side are just a point off the top of the table. That's not something the me of 7 days ago was expecting to say. But yes, it's all change at Real Madrid, from Xabi Alonso's stuttering team that was over-reliant on Kylian Mbappe to this. Anyway... Handy that Kylian Mbappe scored a penalty against Levante. Who cares about the Copa del Rey anyway? Real Madrid's victory was followed by defeat for Barcelona away to Real Sociedad, ending their 11-match winning streak. Flick out. I think the score was 2-1 to La Real, but I'm not sure because there's a disallowed goal every 5 minutes in a Barcelona match. In fact, every weekend there's a whole shadow La Liga. There are disallowed goals in every game. Red card for players who've gone off. Red cards for players who didn't get on. Yellow card for some of the many unidentified people who lurk around the edge of the pitch. Penalties that were saved but then retaken. VARs for stuff that the officials miss. And credit to the refs for this one. VAR checks where the ref basically says, why are you wasting my time? That was never a penalty. Half the highlights of every match is stuff that hasn't happened and people who haven't played. Example, Mallorca against Athletic Club. It was about 3-2. Marici scored at least a hat-trick. Athletic had three players sent off and were down to 10 men. The lesson that we've learned from the Africa Cup of Nations final is that Athletic should have walked off and sat in the dressing room for half an hour until the penalty taker's brain was so addled that he thought a Panenka was the way forward. Poor old Brahim. Just wait till he gets back to Real Madrid and realises that Alvaro Arbeloa was the manager.
Yeah. We have weekends like this, don't we? Where some week we'll have 3 or 4 weekends where there's barely a red card and there's barely any controversy, and then all of a sudden it's like they pick a weekend and it's all hell breaks loose. And every 4 or 5 weeks we have this type of weekend where you... collating all the red cards and the, I don't even start with the disallowed goals.
You can't count the red cards though, can you? Because you don't know who's been sent off. There's just like a mass of people at the side of the pitch and the ref goes wandering over like Conan the Barbarian slaying them all with his red cards. And the commentator's like, well, hang on, who's that? I thought, he's gone off. He got substituted before he got sent off. Don't worry about that one.
It was reported that Hugo Duro had been substituted and then picked up a red card, and I thought that's going to hurt Valencia. And as it turned out, the report was wrong. It was Christian Rivero, the substitute goalkeeper. So that means he's suspended. There might be a case now of some managers. Can you get a yellow card on the bench?
Yeah. So
if you've been booked in the game and you're taken off, for the extra protection there, the manager might be best saying to that player that go and sit in the change room and watch it on your iPad or something.
Oh, they could just behave themselves.
In case you pick up a second yellow and get suspended for next week.
Yeah.
As you said, some of the people, it's quite random, isn't it? Perhaps they should have a fall guy on the bench that if the fourth official has heard something and says, who said that? They can all point at the one bloke that doesn't matter.
Yeah, Spartacus.
The bus driver.
Yeah.
Say it was him. It was him and he takes the red card on behalf of someone.
Yeah.
So it is bonkers.
Yeah, so all of the football that we're going to discuss, basically half the games, of some kind of utterly confusing red card, no red card VAR that didn't become a VAR. One thing.
Well, that game, Mallorca Athletic, there was 19 minutes added on time in total.
Yeah, this is...
It, we had eight in the first half and 11 in the second half.
It is. It's insane.
And there should have been more.
Almost as insane as the AFCON final. Now, we don't normally start with the Africa Cup of Nations. We're not an Africa Cup of Nations podcast, but dear me, if honestly, if you think La Liga's insane at times, what on earth was happening in that? And then I was just showing Terry before, if you, like, this is for everybody, bit of homework. If you haven't seen the towel business, the Africa Cup of Nations final, the Senegal goalkeeper's towel, watch it. And what are you doing? Why are footballers like this? Anyway.
Yeah, I watched that in disbelief. You tried to explain it, but when you showed me, I just can't comprehend what's going on. But it is, it's been a good week. Good weekends of action, though, for La Liga. Some drama at the top, of course.
Yeah,
Barcelona losing, Real Madrid winning. And
sort of moaned about this. I think I don't like the games going on too long. When they were trying to add on, because interesting, you said there wasn't enough added time in the Mallorca Athletic game. I sort of get the point. And again, when you watch a Barcelona game, you're thinking, how much of that didn't happen? Because all of those offsides that they let go, that they're offside. And you think, and you get to the end of 90 minutes and there's 4 minutes or something. And you, fair enough, they've got TV companies, have got places to go and people need to go somewhere and stuff. So you can't play all the added time. When they tried to play all the added time, all the TV schedules were out because everyone was playing 10, 12 minutes. Because,
well, even in that game last night, there was an element of Oyarzabal went down twice with cramp in the added on time.
Yeah,
now, if you think about it, that, I mean, the game I did, I'm talking about Athletic Club, 11 minutes added on in the second half. It was 10 and it went to 11. You can waste a lot of time in that 10, 11 minutes, which means it should be another 3 or 4 minutes. Because that's the plan. If you're winning, you can run the clock down. You can take your time on set pieces, throw-ins, goal kicks, anything. You know, go down, the goalkeeper roll, catches an easy cross and then rolls around and stays on the floor for 90 seconds. So in that 10 or 11 minutes, you could easily waste and add on another two or three.
Yeah.
So it's never ending then.
Yeah,
the job is of the officials to make sure, and VAR, that the game flows quicker as for a 90-minute spectacle, as opposed to we'll have 4 minutes here to look at another VAR and we'll add it on at the end. It often works out where not a lot happens in the added on time.
Yeah.
It's a stalemate in the end.
Yeah.
But 19 added on minutes, and I said it could have been more. That was ludicrous.
Right. Where do we start? Shall we do... we've done loads of Real Madrid recently. Actually, let's do a bit of Barcelona first, shall we? So they were beaten. They were dancing in the streets of Sociedad last night, Terry, after La Real got a 2-1 win against Barcelona. Oyarzabal got the first goal. Rashford equalised. They scored, I mean, seconds after the restart, didn't they?
Yeah.
Real Sociedad scored again. There was a sending off in this. There were, I mean, I don't know how many disallowed goals there
were. I think it was four.
At the very beginning of the game, wasn't it?
I think it was four disallowed goals and a disallowed penalty.
Yeah. And Barca's XG was 3.68, which, as the kids will know, is very, very high for a team that that lost the game. I mean, Hansi Flick afterwards, he was fairly sanguine about it. And he was basically, we played well, we should have taken our chances, we lost.
Yeah, he's right. But also, that makes it sound that it's a little bit too simplistic because Real Sociedad played well.
Mm.
So it wasn't against the run of play that La Real played. I thought they played really well. Might be a stretch to say they deserved the win, but it's not that far-fetched. Now, it's normally Barcelona that catch teams offside. Barcelona, I've got it, Barcelona, three disallowed. One was for a foul, which the Dani Olmo one he made a foul on Kubo, didn't he?
In the building.
There was two offsides, and there was a penalty disallowed for offsides. It's normally Barcelona catching teams out the other end.
Yeah.
This time it was Barcelona either giving away a foul like Dani Olmo did, which was it was unlucky. But it was confusing, and most Barcelona games are confusing because there was half a dozen other attempts at attack from Real Sociedad last night, which the game never stopped. I could see it was offside, and I'm thinking I'm pretty nonplussed about this. He's through. He's going to cross it. Whatever, the cross doesn't come to anything. Play continues, and you think it was offside, and it was quite an easy offside. So the Barcelona games are confusing sometimes, and they can, you know, you look at the game afterwards and go, oh, Jean Garcia made two or three good saves. They were from offside attacks. So it's kind of that. But last night, it was Barcelona who get guilty of getting caught offside. But La Real were fantastic. The managers made a difference. A vibrant stadium now. The disappointment that and the boredom of watching La Real for the last 18 months has changed. And we made the point about it needed a fresh voice and a fresh face and fresh ideas, as opposed to Sergio Francisco, who was pretty much the same as Alguacil. It was carrying on exactly the same, won a few different changes at the start of the season, but that didn't last long. And it needed a manager to come in to a talented squad that should be doing far better than what they are. And all of a sudden, the stadium was going to be full because it's Barcelona. But it was rocking. And they went with genuine hope last night that they could beat Barcelona or be competitive against Barcelona. And when you look at their lineup, so they should be. I mean, it's an established La Liga team full of good players. And the manager is doing a fabulous job. It's 5 unbeaten for him now in all competitions. So he's certainly... It's easier for someone like that to take over when you look at it and go, do you know what? They've got a good squad. They should be doing better. And he's made an instant impact. But it was hard push to say La Real deserved to win it. Fascinating the goal from Rashford that we were commentating off tube. We were on replays and suddenly there's a goal mouth scramble and we didn't get to see the kickoff. I was surprised how quick the restart of the game was after the goal. So I haven't timed it yet. I want to look back and see from the moment it hits the back of the net from Rashford to the moment that the scoring, Guedes is scoring again, was really quick. So the kickoff must have been taken quick. Both teams probably must have been an element that was get on with it. Barcelona probably run it back to the halfway line. Let's get on with it. We want to get the winner. La Real, their attitude all night, even when they were winning 2-1, they were still going forward, trying to score more goals. And their attitude must have been the same. And consequently, so, the game kicks off again. And before we know it, it's a 2-1.
So did anyone do anything wrong there for Barcelona? Because I noticed, I mean, there were a lot of bodies in the box for La Real. About 4 or 5 players running into the box immediately. It's a good idea. I hope I've said this to you before. I think corners should be taken quickly.
Quick.
Put it down. Take
totally
it.
Agree. Yeah. Totally agree. And the effort has to be there from even the centre-backs. If you're legging it from...
If you want to get up, get up.
Running from the halfway line.
Quickly. Because what they do, they all go in the box and wait till they're marked. Yeah. And then he takes the corner. And why don't you literally, if you're over there, put it down and immediately, or anyone who can get in the box, peg it into the box. Because that's almost what they did on that kickoff. They had loads of bodies in there.
Now you've given that bloody Arsenal coach an idea, John, who listens to our podcast. But no, I totally agree with that. It's so rehearsed and set up and the game comes to a complete stop. You see occasionally a quick short corner taken. Yeah. But there's nothing to stop if you want to get the centre-backs in the box, what they run in, the length of the halfway line to the edge of the penalty box.
Yeah.
And they'd be on the move. They can be on the move as the corner's coming in. They don't have to run.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As soon as they're 20 yards out or something, whack it at the penalty spot. Yeah. And you can't mark them.
I've always thought that. There's one of these sporting directors, coaches that listen to our podcast that's making notes now.
Yeah, yeah. Our special set piece coach podcast will be a big hit. We'll get the long haired bloke from Aston Villa on as well.
but La Real were fabulous, and Barcelona can count themselves unlucky. I mean, it's the two of the goals were offside. One was a foul. It was a foul, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Dani Olmo on Take Kubo. And I understand why the referee missed that one. The Lamine Yamal one is the controversial.
So the Lamine Yamal boot one. So I've got a message from Darren that I'm going to read the other bits. But he says he's reminded him of the Robert Lewandowski 2-foot-long boot from last season.
And unbelievably, it's the same referee and the same VAR. Mm,
yeah.
Hansi Flick confirmed that. He asked after the game in the press conference, and when they told him, yes, it was the same official and the same VAR, he couldn't believe it. Mm. I made a point in commentary, and I'm a neutral watching this game, and I watch football, I want to see goals. This was a great game. Do we want VAR? I mean, what was that bizarre ruling the other week when Liverpool scored a goal and it was a 5-centimetre ruling?
That was weird, wasn't it? I'd never heard of that.
And no one's ever heard of it. No one's ever...
Foreign inverts, and they gave him the benefit of the doubt. But honestly, I don't see any benefit of the doubt being given on offsides.
No.
That I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And also, you couldn't quite see on that. I don't think you could see everything on that image that they showed you. I couldn't. That was the problem. I think I'm not sure that Lamine Yamal was onside on this one. I'm looking at it and thinking, yeah, I mean, I get it that you might think we're not seeing everything in that image, but I'm not. I think he might have been offside. I don't know. But
yeah, it's just how close it is and forensic from VAR.
If what they said,
looking to white again, we've said looking for white to
disallow goals. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Which so is if, what everybody wants to see in football.
Yeah, and if what they did, what they claimed they did in that Florian Wirtz one, they should do that.
Yeah,
they should. If you said right from
you can't
now
do it
on,
once.
Yeah, precisely.
Never
so
do it again.
If now on you say that you change because when they made level, they were assuming that level meant level in the normal sense of the word. As in, you're standing level with somebody. Oh, I'm standing level. You don't normally get a ruler out and say, oh, no, we're not level, because look, you're 3 millimetres in front of me.
And we've got the VAR now, and it's almost like the sprint finishing 100 metres, yeah, isn't it, looking across. So
yeah,
they're never level.
If you now say...
Very rarely level.
So what?
I didn't even realise I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorised it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe. Rechalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
10 centimetres? Would that be that? If you say, or 6 centimetres or something, and you just rewrite the law. And you say now it is 6 centimeters, and then you're offside, and then or 3 centimeters or something that would just open up a low. These ones where you look at them and you think, is he offside? Doesn't look offside.
Yeah, no, that's my point about that one.
Yeah,
but Barcelona should have they missed chances. Dani Olmo in particular, getting an opportunity playing on the left side of the attack, and he had good chances. Pedri had a good chance early on as well. They've been dominant for 20, 25 minutes, didn't capitalise on it. And then Lavriel got into the game, got footing in the game. And from then on, it became more competitive. I just thought Barcelona missed the trick by... And all teams do it. Sometimes you see a team that's dominant, you're thinking they've really got to score. They're so on top. If they don't score now, this game might turn around, it might change. The other team might get a bit better, there might be an improvement. And that I thought that was the case with Barcelona last night. And then when they made the changes and when they conceded the second goal, they were awful.
Mm.
They couldn't string a pass together. We're forgetting the fact that I think they hit the woodwork 5 times as well.
Yeah.
So Lewandowski hits the bar. Koundé hits the bar. Dani Olmo, I think, hits... There's 2 attempts hit the post and there's one from a corner where Oyarzabal pulls his head out of the way and it hits the post. And Ramiro pulled off some great saves. So the fortune was on the side of Real Sociedad. I mean, one of those that hits the bar could easily have gone in. The save, I think it was Lewandowski, wasn't it, the header? The save from Ramiro to tip it on the crossbar. None of those that hit the woodwork come back and fall to a Barcelona player for a tap-in. So it was one of those nights for Barcelona. They didn't play bad. I think they were really poor after conceding the second goal and they lost their way. But up until that second goal, yeah, there's not too much to be critical of their performance, to be honest.
Well, let's try, shall we?
Lavriel had a goal disallowed in the opening minutes, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was Dani Olmo who was playing the offside. Yeah. Fair play.
Right. Darren has... So in Darren's message, João Cancelo The biggest act of self-sabotage since Ernesto Valverde was sacked while top of the league. What do you make? What do you think?
In what way?
I don't know.
It'd be interesting to see whether it was his performance last night, because he was poor last night. Now, whether it was Darren's thinking about the performance last night, it was a weird one. He came on for Balde at left back. He ended up going to right back, and he couldn't pass to a teammate, and he was poor last night. I expect better. But he is a good cover option for left back and right back. The fact he can play there means other players then can play centre back as well. I don't see him staying at Barcelona long term, but I think it is just a temporary stopgap with what they can afford and what they can bring in at this stage of the season and with the financial situation they have. But it wouldn't have done him any favours last night going on and playing as poorly as he did. He made one pass that went out and he complained to everybody. It just went straight out for a throw-in. And in the end, I think he resorted to looking at a divot on the pitch. He was poor last night. I don't know how much he's been playing lately and how match fit he is. He's all right, though. He's. I don't think he will cause a problem for Barcelona between now and the end of the season. Will he play on a regular basis? I think he'll be used, but he won't be a first-choice player.
Yeah. Right. Let's do this one as well. So they've looked more vulnerable defensively since Eric Garcia was taken out of the double pivot to shoehorn Dani Olmo wide left. That shows a lack of trust. And is shoehorning Dani Olmo wide left showing a lack of trust in Rashford to start? I don't think, says Darren, he's done enough to earn a permanent move, although the talk increases that it will be.
I think it depends on the price, doesn't it? I think that he's done well enough to probably attract other clubs as well now.
Yeah.
That if Barcelona's probably they will try to get a knockdown deal. And then if he falls into like the 20 million bracket, wages are the problem. So a lot of clubs can afford the transfer fee, but we'll look at the allegedly 300 grand a week as a problem.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. I don't think it'd be the worst signing Barcelona make. And I think last night, Rafinha was a miss. I mean, if Rafinha plays where Dani Olmo played last night and had those chances, he probably scores one of them, at least. So Rafinha's a big miss. It was a precaution, a bit of soreness, muscle soreness. They had the Champions League game midweek. Maybe Rashford might start in that one. He's probably a better option than Dani Olmo wide left, to be honest. Yeah. I think Dani Olmo is a number 10. Firmin played in that position last night. He did okay. He had a goal disallowed as well. His one was disallowed for the foul, wasn't it? Foul by Olmo on Taki Kubo. Firmin with one of his shots from distance that went in. So I won't be too critical of any team selections last night or the performance of Barcelona. They just didn't take their chances. Hansi Flick is correct in saying that.
Yes, so let's have a look at Real Madrid, who are breathing down their neck. Now, if you've been...
Did Pedri not get injured for that challenge?
Oh, right, yes, for the red card.
I mean, you see the graph, the slow-mo. I mean, it's a clear red card. I'm amazed that Pedri just shook it off. It's amazing sometimes when you see a tackle and you think, oh, that's good. And then other times you think, what's wrong with the player? And there was a serious injury. And Pedri was really fortunate on that one. It's good for La Liga to see La Real back to their best. And to be honest, it was a great game to be involved in on the COCOMs.
Right. Okay. Real Madrid beat Levante by 2-0. If you've looked away, if you haven't listened to the podcast for a couple of weeks, Xabi Alonso got sacked. And then they lost in the Copa del Rey to Albacete, who were down the bottom of the second division. People say must win. I don't like the expression must win, but you're sort of going into this thing. Come on, it's Levante.
Oh, definitely.
It's Levante. Yeah. You can't. You know, because if it's a must-win, what they've done if they hadn't won? Sack him, you know?
It's 0-0 as well, half-time.
Yeah, well, 58 minutes, they get the pen. Yeah.
I mean, it was... The first half was awful. Yeah. They were awful. They were terrible. And I'm not a massive fan, but of booing and jeering and whatever. The players were in the tunnel preparing for the warm-up.
Yeah.
And they announce the teams and they do that thing where they shout out in goal, Thibaut, and all the crowd go, Courtois, and all the way through the team. And the players from the tunnel waiting to come out, and every, well, not every single player. I think Asensio got a decent reception and Gonzalo Garcia got a decent reception. So they kind of absolved the youngsters that come through the ranks. They didn't get the jeers. The rest of the players did. So when they're saying, oh, Relian, and they're expecting Tchouaméni, all it was boos and whistles. So it wasn't great. Under circumstances, great idea.
There's such a line there, isn't there? Because you're a paying spectator and you pay a lot of money to watch football. You're entitled to express an opinion if things are going badly. Also true, if you're being booed, it takes almost everybody plays worse as a result of it.
Yeah. I mean, they did get beat by Albacete in the Copa del Rey.
Yeah.
So that's the reason they got the manager sacked. Yeah. And lost the Spanish Super Cup. So they're hardly going to get cheered. And it's, we have that weird scenario behind the goal, don't we, with the white shirts that are allegedly, they get their tickets cheap, but they have to do what they're told. It's a bit of a weird thing for a football club to have. And they've been warned that if they are seen booing and jeering and singing Florentino Perez out, then their tickets will be revoked. That's going down a
dystopian
dark alleyway there.
Yes, Orwellian pathway, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're allowed to come and watch us, but you must wave your flag and be happy.
And not sing and boo the players and not jeer the owner, president of the club.
Yeah, I think, having said that, I think the existence of it is the problem. If I was bribing someone to support me and then I saw them booing me, I would withdraw my bribe.
Yep. That's what they're being paid for. Not to do that.
Yeah.
So that was before the game, and there were images of Vinicius looking dejected in the tunnel. He was the one that received the loudest jeers and whistles.
Yeah, so I mean, the problem with, one of the problems with booing is that it's a very blunt tool, isn't it? Because people say things like, or the fans were booing last week. It doesn't take many people to boo. It's a loud noise, a boo. So, and then, oh, they've changed their minds, the fans, this week. It's probably not that, is it? It's probably a different set of people who are thinking, oh, he got booed last week. I'm going to pipe up now and
get to join him with the whistles and
cheer them. Yeah. And, you know, because I didn't agree with that booing last week. So often when you see a player and they get booed with a touch, their next touch, they get cheered because all the people who disagree with the booing.
Yeah.
Then think, no, well, I'm not.
Yeah.
So, but what are they saying? Are they saying, where does Vinny go from here? You know, this whole, do they give him a new contract? Do they try and get money? Probably not now. Where are we? 19th of Jan. So probably in the summer.
Yeah.
And is that a large part of the fan base saying, no, get rid, sell him?
Well, the narrative is interesting. And then just to finish the booing and the whistling theme, they then got jeered off the pitch, even louder at half-time. And I get that. They just lost to Barcelona, lost to Albacete in the Copa del Rey. They're now 0-0 at half-time against a team that are 19th in the division. And they got really booed. But their performance in the first half was terrible. It was awful. And once Mbappe gets the penalty, it was a penalty. He's looking for it. He's going down before the contact. But if you make that type of challenge, the defender actually did make contact in the end, although Mbappe was already going down. And then after that, Asensio scores a goal and it got more comfortable and it could have been 3-0 or 4-0. But they could have done with that. A better performance in the first half to alleviate the jeers and the whistles at half time. The hankies were out and everything. It's quite a spectacle to see when the stadium does it. I mean, it does happen elsewhere in Spain, but nowhere as grand as Real Madrid. Real Madrid do things bigger and grander than anyone else. So it was a poor performance. But the narrative now with Vinicius is, it's Arbeloa isn't helping it. Because there are people that have been, Real Madrid fans have been disappointed with Vinicius' performance for 18 months now. And they see him playing a part because they're in the Clásico when he sulked and threw a fit and got substituted in that match and it didn't look well. And now the narrative is, I don't think it's being helped by Arbeloa, who's making a real big thing about Vinicius. I get it why he would say, the short answer would be, yes, I'm looking to recapture his form. We know he's a super talented player, he's world class on his day. Perhaps he hasn't been at his best, but I'm going to try and help him get back to his best. But he's not. He's taking it even further. He's saying he's going to be the leader of the team. He's going to be the face of Real Madrid. Now, that narrative can only come for one reason, because Florentino Perez wants it.
Mm.
Because Arbeloa is doing stuff that he knows that Florentino Perez wants to be done. So then the Real Madrid fans will look at that and think, ah, so they bring it brings Florentino Perez into the conversation. You know, when Florentino Perez should have backed Xabi Alonso when Vinicius was substituted in the Clásico, he clearly didn't. So it's a grey area now. Vinicius is, I don't know if he's to blame. I don't know if he's part of the players, allegedly the group of players that didn't want Xabi Alonso to stay on as manager. But the more they're doing, the more that Arbeloa is saying about him, the more it looks like there's a reason for Arbeloa coming out and saying more than he should about one particular player. It's Vinny this, it's Vinny that. Which makes me wonder, you know, whether it's... I think most of what Arbeloa is going to do is going to come from Florentino Perez. Is he a yes man? Of course he is. And he's using that as, you know, Florentino wants this, Florentino wants that. And if he's not using, if he's not saying Florentino Perez's name in the conversation, it's pretty much he knows what is needed to be said. So the narrative is very much that Vinicius is staying. Real Madrid want him to stay. They want him to be an important player, the face of Real Madrid, the leader of Real Madrid. That's a big contrast from Xabi Alonso's attitude to Vinicius, and maybe to a lot of the fans.
Yeah, but you should have that attitude until the moment, and then surprise everyone by selling him. If you're going to sell him, you shouldn't run him down, because you want to get 100 million, 250 million or something from a Premier League club or a Saudi club for him. You don't want to boo the guy, destroy him, and then have this huge asset and end up losing him on a free, which is also possible.
Exactly. I think it makes it difficult, because we've heard rumours in the past about a 200 million deal to Saudi.
Mm.
And that's where the silly money is. I can't see anyone else paying anywhere. Could you see anyone paying 100 outside of the Middle East?
When was the last time anyone moved for 100? Now that Premier League teams have got to abide by the PSR, I mean, Man City have signed players.
Declan Rice paid 100, didn't they?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Verts, was Verts about that?
Yes, he was. Actually, he was. Yeah, he was over 100. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's better than Verts, isn't he? I think so. Although, is his output? I mean, Verts has had a bit of it. Verts is a classic example. I mean, he's played well in the last few weeks, but it's an example that moving countries, it's not easy. This guy came with this huge reputation. The first few weeks of him playing for Liverpool, you're thinking, well, it's the third time. He hasn't done anything, has he? You know, and you don't jump to conclusions, and you know.
And also for Vinny, why would you want to leave Real Madrid? There should be no reason for him to want to leave Real Madrid. So if Real Madrid want to sell him, it's got to be somewhere that suits him.
And but also he does the criticism. I think there's some validity in the criticism of it, isn't there? In that he doesn't score enough goals. And whatever.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
21 plus terms and conditions apply.
We never quite got to the grip, to the depth, the bottom of what Xabi Alonso was hoping to do, but there was no sign that Vinny was adapting to whatever it is. And that whole problem that PSG had when they had Mbappe, Messi, Neymar up front, and that meant that they couldn't start with some kind of organised defensive press at the top of the pitch. Can you do that with Vinny? I don't know. I haven't seen any evidence that you can. So that rules out quite a lot of managers who won't want him. Yeah.
That's two to start with. That takes that tactic away. And Mbappe has adapted and played more of a central striker role.
And he scores loads of goals.
And Vinny hasn't.
So you look at the two of them, and if neither of them is prepared or able, maybe, to take part in a coordinated press, then what else do you bring? And in Mbappe, he scores every game. So that's what he brings.
Yeah. So it is. So if I was Vinny, I would want to stay at Real Madrid unless you leave and go for the ridiculous money in Saudi.
Mm.
Because if you're Vinny and you I don't know, I can't think of any other club that you would is comparable to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to go to Barcelona in La Liga, so that's not going to happen. You're looking around Europe, PSG. Luis Enrique would take him.
Yeah. Liverpool, they signed Isak as well. So, in fact, they bought £200 million players.
The Italian clubs couldn't afford him. Yeah. And why would you leave to go to Inter or Milan or Napoli? The Premier League clubs, Liverpool, Man United, would be the attraction, Man City. Would you want to leave Real Madrid to go there for... And he's not going to get the money. The attraction is going to only be Real Madrid getting 200 million and him getting £1 million a week, £1 million a week from Saudi. So the option then is probably to stay at Real Madrid.
Yeah. So therefore, they all need to. But that's what I'm saying. Real Madrid, I think, are saying the right things, I think. And he probably needs to stick with that, doesn't he, Arbeloa? And just be really, and even if it is a little bit of soft soap, if he's a little bit of, blowing smoke up his arse, as we might say.
Which probably is probably the last thing Vinny needs, to be honest. If you've got a manager constantly telling you how good you are, you're going to be the face of the club and a leader of the club and you're not playing well. And I get that, it is a difficult one to deal with.
Yeah.
But most of what Arbeloa is saying, in my opinion, is coming from what he knows Florentino Perez wants to hear.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing about having Arbeloa. We know what Florentino Perez thinks now because, Arbeloa is going to say it at a press conference.
But that was an interesting turnabout as well. I mean, we barely talked about the football. There was not a lot that happened in this game. But it is everything that's going on around Real Madrid. It's almost a form of self-sabotage, really, isn't it? I mean, it could go either way. They're because of Barcelona losing, because of them winning, they're a point behind. But there was no need to sack Xabi Alonso, was there? And I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have got beat in the Copa del Rey.
Last Monday, we weren't talking about him being sacked. You'd said, they did all right, actually. Obviously, it's not a massive shock because it had been rumoured, hadn't it? You'd heard the drums beating, but there was nothing there, was there?
No, to me, it was a massive shock. That day when he got the sack and I found out, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was triggered.
Snowflake.
But so and now you look at it, you go, well, you're a point behind and you've sacked your manager, and who knows which way it's going to go for the rest of the season. They've got beat by Albacete, they've beat Levante. They probably were thinking Xabi Alonso might win those two games, then we can't sack him. They might be thinking, well, if we sack him, Arbeloa's going to win that game at Albacete, and he'll win that game against Levante, then things will be, everyone will be happy. Losing to Albacete was the issue, and then a poor first half performance against Levante. It hasn't calmed things down, that's for sure, out there.
Yeah. Let's go to a nice calm game, such as Mallorca 3, Athletic Club 2. Marici had never scored against Athletic until this game. Then he scored at least three. I think it was three, anyway. There was a penalty. He scored the rebound. He'd scored another one. He'd scored another penalty. Unai Gomez scored, then got subbed off and was sent off. Nico Williams scored a lovely goal in there. Lacue got sent off. Guruzeta got a second yellow, didn't he, for moaning at the ref after the penalty, wasn't it? Which was, I mean, the penalty was a shocker, wasn't it?
Do you know what? It's really difficult. being analysing the game live, because you look at it and thinking, is it a penalty? Oh, I don't know, but it's going to be given.
Yeah, Every weekend, there are 15 points I hear a COCOM say, it's probably not a penalty, but these days.
Yeah. So the Danny Vivian one, actually his arm does, I thought his elbow did drift out and make contact. The second one on Bocchici was never a penalty.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Touches his hand.
Yeah, and also Marici heads it, but they're jumping together.
Yeah.
And it's, so, I mean, talk about point blank, because he heads it down onto his arm, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So you think, there's no way that you could not do that. And it's not like, I don't mind the one where they go, if you go flinging yourself into a block and your arm waves over here and over here and it hits it,
yeah,
I think, yeah, you can't.
You're asking for trouble.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're just jumping and the other guy beats you in the air, heads it straight against your arm.
Not a penalty.
I don't know what you can do.
So it's not a handball.
They should have walked off and gone and sat in the dressing room for half an hour.
I thought the Danny Vivian one, his arm, it could have done more to get his arm out of the way.
Yeah.
And there was enough distance for him to do that. It wasn't point blank. It wasn't a deflection that he couldn't get his arm out of the way. His arm did. It's just like an instinctive reaction to stick his elbow out slightly and it hit it. And also, it was going to a player, Marici, probably unmarked.
Yeah.
So I get that one. Athletic, I mean, Mallorca, they weren't great. They were like they've been all season. This game could have gone either way. They could have got beat. But Marici's the only player that scores a goal for them. Other players in the team, Sergi Dada was better in this game, but still not at his best. It was an excellent result for Arrasati, who was under pressure. Athletic are the story, though. I mean, they really are the story. I mean, they did score goals in this game. You said, Gomez, they struck back quickly on two occasions, didn't they? Gomez and Nico Williams. But you're looking at their stats, they've got 15 points in the last 17 games. They got 9 out of 9. They won the first three. Mm. Since then, they've got 15 from 17. It's less than, I bang on about less than a point a game, you're in trouble. That's what they've been for most of the season. They've now got 13 goals in their last 17 games, so they're not even scoring a goal a game. And we constantly say it's because they haven't got a centre-forward. They haven't got a lot all round, to be honest. I mean, looking at the goal scorers, at the amount of goals players have scored this season, and you're looking at it and thinking, it's Ian Sunset, one goal. That's all he's got this season. Iñaki Williams, I'll go for it. One goal.
Mm.
I mean, the highest goal scorer is Nico with 4, Robert Navarro with 3. And you're looking around and you're thinking, Berenguer's got a couple of goals. They just don't score goals. And I mean, they get a couple in this one. They were unlucky with some of the decisions that went against them. But their run of form is desperate at the moment. They haven't slipped down the table a lot. It's been a gradual process from sort of third, fifth, sixth. They hovered around seventh or eighth for a while. Now they're getting caught. They're still ninth, 24 points, but that's 5 points above relegation. And their form in the last 17 matches is a relegation battle. So they've been dragged into that silly league this season, which we've got over half the teams, anyone below Celta, have got relegation issues.
Yeah.
An Athletic Club, they're gradually getting caught by all the others. So they've got Champions League this week as well.
Yeah, Atalanta away.
Yeah, and they've got a chance of qualifying. They've got Atalanta away, and they finish. Sevilla is the next game. They've got Sporting Lisbon at home in the last of the Champions League games. I hope they qualify. La Liga needs them to qualify for the playoffs. But I'd be concerned if I was an Athletic Club fan at the moment. I'm sure they are.
Yeah. Osasuna got a win against Oviedo, who needed a win. Now, is this a new Oviedo? They led twice in this game. They scored 2 whole goals. Were they unlucky to lose? They lost in the end, so they it's a blow to lose. But I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Budimir scored 2 equalisers, both from set pieces, probably a problem. But another cracking and slightly chaotic game.
Yeah, Guillermo Almada has made a difference, and Felipe Vinas is the first part of the season, I was thinking, why don't you just play him up front? He had a couple of games up front with Rondon, and then they played him wide, and both managers that had the job initially played him in a wider position, and he looks like a centre-forward. His goal is a classic centre-forward's header, down to the ground, from distance, loads of power. Twice they went ahead. And, yeah, they're a bit naive that they end up not getting anything from the game. They deserved the point. And Osasuna are good at home. They're amongst the better teams outside of the top three or four. They're tough opponents. So I think there's hope for Oviedo. I mean, they're bottom with 13 points and it's going to be tough for them. But I see signs of a revival, which will have teams higher up than them in the league thinking, oh, they're playing better than us at the moment. Mm. And the fact they got a couple of goals, they'd be gutted that they didn't get anything from the game away from home also soon after scoring two. And Victor Minioff with a decent finish at the end as well. It was a fun game. Another sending off, Catania as well.
Obviously.
Oviedo, there's a glimmer of life there for Oviedo with this current coach.
Villarreal, title contenders, Villarreal, still just about. Lost 2-0 at Betis. I mean, it's a tough, you know, this is not an easy game. Don't panic. Everything, I suppose, when you're chasing Barcelona and even in this form, Real Madrid, you need to be perfect all the time, don't you? And so it's a blow, isn't it, to lose?
Yes, it is. But that is Betis, they're tough opponents in the stadium at home, despite being a temporary stadium. It looks like the home stadium now. And they played really well in this match. And they had a plan. Pellegrini had a plan. Villarreal missing players away on African Cup of Nations duty. And Betis were excellent. They were really good. Their game plan was to... And Betis had players missing. No Cucho Hernandez. So Jimmy Avila gets a rare game. Might be his last game for Betis. Lo Celso was outstanding. But their game plan worked really well, where they played the high press. They played it. They put Villarreal under pressure from the start. We heard Pablo Fornals talk after the game, and that was the game plan from Betis. And they did it really well. They thoroughly deserved the win. Villarreal didn't really threaten on too many occasions. Ruibal is a star for Betis, isn't he? He plays anywhere. Always does a really good job, whether it's right back, straight forward to right mid-side midfield, centre forward. And it was a long time coming, the first goal for Betis in this match. So Villarreal were quite ineffective in this match because of the tactics that Betis played. Comesaña gets a red card, which was a clear red card. And that came about as there was a grudge between those two right throughout the match.
Yeah,
don't blame Comesaña. Probably, yeah, stupid getting sent off. But Lo Celso did stand on the back of his calf for far too long for it to be an accident. And then we saw the aggression from Comesaña after that challenge. And that was definitely a revenge challenge on Lo Celso to get the red card.
Yeah, but who wins? Yeah. So they've got 41 points. They're 8 points behind Barcelona, but they do have a game in hand. It's not done. They've got Champions League at Ajax this week. They've got, yes, it is. So, which is purely a money-making exercise. But as previously discussed, they're worth winning these Champions League games because it's an awful lot of money. So,
yeah, and they don't have finished the campaign with 1 point.
Yeah.
I mean, Ajax are down there as well. And Ajax look like cannon fodder for most teams. Villarreal shouldn't be that.
Yeah.
So there should be an element of pride from the Villarreal players. They don't want to finish bottom of the pile with 1 point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I expect the Villarreal to get a result in that match.
Atletico got a 1-0 win against Alaves.
They smashed them 1-0.
Yeah. Saw up with the goal. So tell us about the game. And then I've got a question from John to ask you. But tell us about the game, Terry.
It was that. It was they smashed them 1-0. I mean, Alaves never looked like causing them problems. But Atletico just couldn't put their chances away. Didn't create an abundance of chances, to be honest. Simeone did go to a three at the back or five at the back when they were 1-0 up. They were just quite looking against Alaves, who can't win a game, can't score a goal at the moment. You've gone 1-0 up. He didn't do it immediately, but towards the end of the game, he brought Lionel Mando.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to chumbacasino.com.
Chumbacasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
On for Johnny Cardoso, and you're thinking, oh, is that, it's not a straight swap. Oh, of course, three centre-backs. Yeah, it must be frustrating watching Atletico when they completely dominate and outplay opponents, but it's only 1-0. And excellent header from Soloth. When you watch the goal, the movement when the ball goes out wide, he's quite pedestrian, Soloth, in a lot of his play. You know, when if Atleti have an attack and the ball's cleared, he walks back to the halfway line in a clear offside position. So if the play comes back again quickly, he's got a job to do to catch up and get back onto an onside position. A lot of times, it doesn't even bother because the ball goes wide. He's then got an advantage on the defence. But his movement on this one, when the ball goes wide, he suddenly develops an interest in the game. And then suddenly comes alive and the movement is good. He's in the near post. He pulls to the far post. It's a lovely cross to him. Not a lot of power on the cross, but he generates the power. To an extent, when he has the header and it goes in, I'm thinking, that's gone in.
Yeah.
Because he probably shouldn't have beat the goalkeeper from that distance with the head. But it was a classic solid goal and Atletico get the win. As I said, it smashed Alaves 1-0. But that's what happens with Atletico Madrid.
So John is one of our Patreons. Thank you, John. As a fan of Alaves, my concern level is rising with the recent form, especially after being thoroughly outclassed at the Metropolitano. There are positives the team putting in place. Vicente is a player that creates with his speed, likes the back four. Sivera is a good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But they are in the, obviously, they're in the bottom three now. And so his question is, middle of the transfer window, should a team such as Alaves, with limited resources, go looking for goals? Maybe a creative midfielder, or look for a player that's will help with a scrappy relegation battle. So a little bit, Terry, on what do you do in the January transfer window? Everybody, obviously, would love a number nine that scores goals.
Yeah, but they've got them. They've got them. Mm. I mean, Tony Martinez is good, and Lucas Boyer is good. I forgot his name, the Real Madrid one that never played. He went to Alaves. He's on the bench. Remind me of his name. It's been that long since I've seen him play a game of football. Completely slipped my mind. Mariano Diaz.
Yes.
So, you know, my advice for Alaves and the fans is don't panic.
Mm.
I think that this might be a case of... this one isn't a game where you look at and think... We're outclassed by Atletico Madrid. That happens. You only got to beat 1-0. That's not the end of the world. It's this run of form where But I think they've got enough. And it's really difficult to predict who's going to get relegated. But we know, as I said already, that we got Real Sociedad in eighth. They've gone up to eighth, 24 points. And you're looking at Alaves in the relegation zone, and it's 5 points. So we'll talk about Girona soon. They've got three wins on the trot and they're out. They look like they're going to qualify for Europe, but they're not. But there's a possibility. It's that type of division. So I would say hold your nerve. I mean, I don't think Alaves is the place to bring in a silky midfield player. I think it's that type of club environment. I think they have to rely upon really grafting, hard-working players, which they've got. My advice, if you're an Alaves fan, is to be patient. And to the club, don't do anything silly. It's a weird league so far this season, and I think Alaves I think they'll be all right, to be honest.
There we are, John. Mario Diaz played in a Copa del Rey game 2nd of December. I haven't seen him since. He was on the bench against Real Madrid last in the middle of December. Hasn't been on a bench since. So there we are. He's disappeared again.
No wonder I forgot about his name.
Yes. send out a search party for him. Right, so that's that game. So a couple more to go. Celta Vigo against Rayo Vallecano. Rayo again ended up with 10 men and got well beaten, 3-0 to Celta.
Celta are excellent, and they're really good to watch. I mean, this is the race. Celta, 7th, 32 points. Betis, 6th, 32 points. So they've caught Betis, and Espanyol, 34 in 5th.
Yeah.
It's a difficult one. So is the 5th best team in La Liga, because Celta have got over that early season calamity where it was every single game we joked was 1-1. And now they look a really good team. They've got good attacking players, good young players. Enjoy watching them in their own stadium now. It's a club on the up. Good manager. I'm not surprised. So I think that's the cut-off point. Celta, 7th, 32 points. Yeah. Anything below that.
It's an 8-point dip then, isn't there?
Yeah.
So,
Celta have done really well, but it just goes to show. And Celta were in that bottom pack for, I'm probably talking about 12 to 15 games, where we included them in their teams like Real Sociedad and Sevilla and Valencia, that they're disappointing this season. They should be doing better, but they are now. They're fun to watch. And they hammered Rayo, who are in amongst the thick of it.
In fact, they beat Real Madrid 7th of December. They lost to Bologna then in the Europa League. But
yep.
I got knocked out of the Copa del Rey. So that all looks bad. But in the La Liga form since then is win, draw, win, win, win.
Yeah.
So.
And look where it's done to. And they've caught Betis. They're on the tails of Espanyol now.
So we do another informed team, Girona.
Yes.
Couple of penalties got them the win at Espanyol. And you know, again, this team that we were worried about, you know, should Michel have walked away, you know, etc. Won 3 in a row, won 4 out of 5, I think it is, isn't it? And suddenly up into mid table. Well, it's not done. Obviously, it's close enough that you then go on a 5-match losing run and you're back in again. That's the picture at the moment, isn't it?
But she's going to make it fun this season. If you're neutral and you're not one of these supporters of these half of the division that could be dragged into a relegation battle, all you need is to look and go, oh, look at our next 3 fixtures. We might not get many points from them. And you look at it and you think, God, we could really be in trouble in 3 weeks' time.
Oh, definitely. 5 points between Real Sociedad in 8th and Alaves in the relegation zone.
Exactly. It's really enjoyable. So it's going to be a lot of stuff. Hopefully we'd get the more teams wanting to win games as opposed to let's not get beat, and we get a load of drab draws. But there's loads of games now where there's going to be 2 teams in a similar position that can go 4 or 5 places up in the league or 3 or 4 places down. And Girona have done that. The reason we were frustrating, we were maybe thinking that Michel was under pressure, was it get similar to Real Sociedad. They've got good players. You shouldn't be in that position. They started the season off dreadful. Now, whether the club weren't prepared, whether the team wasn't prepared for the start of the season, late transfer signings. They were late signings as well. It was like a week before the season started. They started doing, we saw some action from Girona. But you look at their team and their squad and you think, but yeah, Michel deserves criticism. And now they're playing par. I mean, at the moment, you said 3 straight wins is above par. But where they are in the division, 10th, 24 points, with the players they've got, just about right, to be honest. I mean, probably still a little bit short of where they should be. But they shouldn't have been getting thrashed and hammered. And they were a shambles at the start of the season. But they're much better now. Van Aert's a good centre-forward. He came late in the transfer window. He's still got Sigankov, and then you've got Brian Hill, and you've got other players as well, Lamar and Witzel and players like that are still... That's why they shouldn't be where they are in the league, where they were in the league.
Yeah. One more to go, which wasn't a classic. Getafe 0, Valencia 1. We're talking about teams in poor form. Let's go back. So they lost at the weekend. They lost the game before that, Getafe, this is. They drew the one before that, lost in the Copa del Rey, lost. So that's a catastrophic run for Getafe.
Yeah, and it wasn't long ago I was saying, I think Getafe would be all right, purely because they got borderless. But when you look at their form, the results... And more importantly, look at their players. They are in grave danger this season of relegation. Because I look at the players, and it's there's young players there. They're not built to play Bordeaux style. Back four are good. Midfield, Adam Barry and Luis Mia are good. The rest of it, wide attacking players, the centre forwards, young, unproven. They're not established in La Liga. Whereas in the past, when Getafe have thrived, it's because they've had a bunch of 30-somethings playing that know the game. Mayoral's not available at the moment. Wami started at the weekend, didn't have much of an impact. Valencia worked great, but they were just slightly better, and good goal from Gaia, counter-attacking play. Getafe, out of this weekend, I'm looking around, and there's hope for Oviedo, and we've seen La Real go up the league, and Valencia get a win. The ones I would... and we had the concern about Alaves. I'd be most concerned if I was a Getafe fan at the moment.
Okay. And potentially Sevilla, because they play tonight. They're away to Elche, so we don't know how they get on, but they've lost three in a row in La Liga, and they're slipping as well, aren't they? I think with a closely congested division, you can move around quickly, and that's what's happening. Right. Thank you, Terry. Yes. Welcome back to the UK again. And we will be back for Patreons. Obviously, it's a European... Is it just Champions League week?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So we'll be back to have a chat with some Champions League. So with the Patreons only. And we'll see everybody next week for some more La Liga. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
It's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.